I forgot about that.
It is on Sportsmanlike Conduct, 1620 The Zone, 1620thezone.com. Josh is efforting right now an ability to watch
Parker.
His beloved Omaha Central Eagles.
No, don't you say that,
take on those evil jerks from Omaha North is what he called them off the air.
No, I would never say that. Also, it just stuns me that North is good at basketball because when I was there, they sucked. So, V up, baby.
I remember a couple of years where North made the tournament when I was doing the games.
Yeah, not for, is it, you think that's it?
That's it.
Well.
That's it right there.
Cool.
Parker Gabriel of the Denver Post joins us.
Nice.
Talking a little Denver Broncos. What's up, Parker?
What's going on, guys?
Not much. Not as much exciting around here because, you know, around here, Nebraska's acquiring good quarterbacks. But at Denver, it seems like they're letting them go, for at least for now. What has been the last couple of days like in Denver regarding this news? Which it's not a huge surprise, but still there's something finality about it that now you're like, now we have to be committed to finding something new.
Yeah, I think basically you hit it on the head. I mean, it's been clear for months, really, that it was, the relationship was sort of on the rocks. And then when, you know, Russell Wilson got benched in week 17, like whatever that was, 2 days after Christmas, I think, like it was, then the writing was on the wall and it just became obvious what was going to happen. And so you've been just sort of waiting for the other shoe to drop for the last, you know, this first 2 months of the offseason here. And even still, now that it's like, it hasn't officially happened, it'll officially happen next week when the league year starts, but now that the Broncos have just come out and said, like, yes, we're going to release Russell Wilson, there is this sort of like, oh yeah, that's right, it's twice as much dead money as any single player in NFL history. Russell Wilson's never actually going to play a snap on the five-year extension that the Broncos signed him to in 2022, which is just like mind-boggling. And it's hard to believe that it went this bad this fast, honestly.
Yeah, and so why didn't it work, Parker? Let's go back to like 2022. Why didn't that iteration of Russell Wilson work with Denver? And then why didn't the 2023 Sean Payton iteration work with Denver to the point where they were okay with moving on from this amount of money?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's multiple answers to that, but really, I mean, when he first got to Denver, they overpaid for him. There's no doubt about it. I think at the time there were people that said, well, that's a lot for Russell Wilson, but I don't remember a lot of, hey, this guy's already washed up, he can't play, you know, what the heck are they doing? But, you know, he was getting older. It was a big change, maybe a bigger change than he, you know, gave, you know, thought to about, he played 10 years in one place and then he came to Denver and everything was new. And then on top of that, like, you know, we've seen over the last 2 years that, you know, it hasn't gone well with Nathaniel Hackett in charge of Denver's offense in 2022 or the Jets offense this year. Obviously the Aaron Rodgers factor really is present in both of those. They thought they were going to get Aaron Rodgers here in Denver in 2022. Obviously he only played the 4 snaps last year. So like, it was a train wreck of a year one. Year two wasn't as bad, although depending on the metric you look at, you know, it wasn't quite as rosy as 26 touchdowns and 8 interceptions would make it look like. But he just, you know, he and Sean Payton are sort of like oil and water, personality-wise, approach-wise, and then also stylistically. Like, Sean wants a guy who, you know, it's like Sean wants a paint-by-numbers guy, and then if you're a Hall of Famer, that's great. But, like, he'd rather have someone where he puts all the, you know, it's this color over here and it's this color over here, and just follow the program and it will be all fine. And Russ is a color outside the lines player, even still at this point in his career. And so it just, Payton was really frustrated by the end of the year and decided he had given it a shot and it wasn't going to work and, you know, contract be damned.
Parker Gabriel, the Denver Post. A lot of folks see a major fail like this, especially, you know, the fact that he's never actually going to play a snap on the extended contract that he got after the trade was executed. What is the trust level in Denver with George Payton right now?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it exists. And the thing, I think it's easy to gloss over. Like, it's a terrible trade, don't get me wrong, right? And, like, Russell had no trade protection in Seattle, and so the Broncos had to agree to do the extension in order to get him to waive the no trade, or at least that's how the negotiation went. Like, did they really have to do that? I mean, who knows? It'd be hard to say if there were teams lining up besides Denver, but they agreed to do the extension as part of the trade. So there's a little bit of revisionist history of like, oh, they shouldn't have, the trade was fine, they shouldn't have given the extension. So then you're telling me like, okay, so you're going to trade 2 first-rounders, 2 second-rounders, and 3 players for a guy. He's going to get to town, and then you're going to say, hey, listen, man, we just gave up an unfathomable amount of capital for you, but now we want you to prove it on the field, and we're not going to give you a new deal before you go open your tenure here against your old team in Seattle. Like, that just sort of begs belief. So, like, they overpaid. The extension was part of the trade, essentially. But, you know, also, they, like, traded for him before the new ownership group was in place, and then they extended him after it was in place, and the coaching hire of Hackett was all in that time, too. Like, it just, it turned out to be, like, the worst combination of, like, sequence of events. It was a series of unfortunate events, to use a Lemony Snicket phrase. And so, that doesn't mean that George Payton isn't responsible. I think what it does mean is now, 2 years down the road, he's got a veteran head coach on one side in Sean Payton, and he's got a new ownership group that's now more than a year in the Walton Penner group. And as long as those two factions, like on either side of George Payton, feel good about the work that he's doing in his capacity right now, he'll be fine. But like, if either of those change, then, you know, then he probably won't be fine, at least in Denver. He'll get another job in a heartbeat as a you know, top scouting executive or whatever. But you always, like, keep an eye on that stuff after the draft wraps up. And certainly we'll be doing that here with George. But Sean Payton swears he loves working with the guy. The ownership group seems to trust him, especially as a scout. And as long as all of that continues, you know, you could see he and Sean having a long partnership too.
So, Parker, the cap hit of it all and what this means for the future, they're obviously okay with doing this and moving on. So how will this affect the roster building and roster construction? Because, I mean, on one hand, I want to ask, like, what's next at quarterback? On the other hand, obviously, the dead money is going to play a big part in whatever they can do over the next couple of seasons.
Yeah, no doubt. They have 2 ways they can split up the dead money over 2 years. Basically, it's like they can take 50 – it's $85 million total, no matter how you slice it. So it's either 53 this year and 32 next year, or like 50 and 35, basic 30, 35 this year and 50 next year. So like, you can either do the big chunk and get it out of the way this year, or you can push the big chunk off until 2025. I sort of think they should get the big chunk out of the way and sort of be into the clear, not into the clear, but clearer in 2025. We'll see. They have basically until next week to figure that out. Part of what getting the big chunk out of the way would be is, like, it's easier to hold somebody's cap number down in the first year of a contract, right? So, like, it wouldn't be pretty, but I think they could play in the middle market of the quarterback free agency if they do it that way. It's going to have a big effect no matter what, right? So, like, but I don't think it's impossible if they really wanted Kirk Cousins, so they really wanted Baker Mayfield. I think they can make those deals work. Now, obviously, that's going to inhibit other parts of the roster. And even if they sort of go bargain bin veteran quarterback and a first round draft pick, it's still going to have impacts on other parts of the roster. But they've made it pretty clear on the record and just sort of on background and all this stuff. Like, they're making it clear that they're not going to use this, you know, the Russell Wilson situation as an excuse, and that they feel like they can field a competitive roster the next 2 years, even with that albatross on it. And so it's going to be very interesting to watch them try to pull that off.
Yes. Parker Gabriel, the Denver Post. Cortland Sutton, I saw, was preparing himself to be let go. He erased all of his Bronco follows on his social media. How much could this hurt? I know it obviously depends on which number they decide to swallow first, the 50 or the 35, but how deep could this go in terms of cuts? Is Sutton pretty much a goner?
Yeah, I don't know about that, actually. I mean, I know he did that, but they don't have to release him. I mean, there's a few guys where it's kind of they have this set of highly paid players that have no guaranteed money left on their contracts. And so that's always sort of decision-making mode, right? It's Cortland Sutton, it's Justin Simmons, it's Garrett Bowles, their left tackle, DJ Jones, the defensive lineman, and then Tim Patrick, another one of the wide receivers who's missed the past 2 years with injury. And so, like, any of those guys, like, could they end up cutting them? Yeah. I think it's more likely that they explore the trade market and then maybe hold for a year, restructure a little bit of money to try to clear cap space. But, you know, Cortland Sutton was a little bit, you know, he's a little, I don't know about dissatisfied, but just there was a little bit of drama during the season just because his name came up around the trade deadline. And now it's sort of happening again. So there's going to be a lot of that here. One of the things that we don't know for sure, I mean, we know Sean Payton has a big say in what happens, you know, roster-wise. And I don't think we have, like, a clear-cut answer on some of these guys who have been around a long time of whether they're pieces that can help the Broncos win right now, if they're pieces that John feels like need to be back at lower numbers if they're coming back, or if he's sort of like, okay, I've seen this for a year, I know what I need to know, see you later. So that's, we're going to get some of those answers in the next, like, week, 2 weeks, on some veteran guys, and yeah, it could be an active little stretch here.
Parker, obviously you've only been covering the league for a couple of years now, 2-3 seasons. So, you know, this is going to be like the worst trade in the league since you've been on the beat. But I wonder how much you have been able to dive into where this falls historically, because we had a discussion a few days ago, you know, is this surpassing the Herschel Walker from Dallas to Minnesota trade that helped my franchise win a few Super Bowls in the 90s? Where does this rank from what you've been able to gather over the last few days?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that one, like, famous last words, I don't know if that one will ever be topped. The funny thing is, like, okay, so maybe you could make an argument that it's, like, second worst trade in NFL history, which isn't, you know, great company to have. But you could also make an argument that it was the second worst trade of 2022 as well. I mean, you know, Cleveland gave up 3 first-rounders for Deshaun Watson, plus a third and a fourth, and then gave him $230 million guaranteed. Like, Cleveland gave Deshaun Watson $106 million more guaranteed than the Broncos gave Russell Wilson. So, like, Deshaun Watson might end up being better than Russell Wilson. He also has all of the baggage, and I think he's played in 17 games so far for Cleveland. So 2022 was not a good year to be trading for a quarterback, apparently.
I saw Parker in an NFL.com mock that they have the Broncos moving up to take J.J. McCarthy.
Oh,
how would that go over in Denver?
How do you Big Ten guys feel about that?
Bad. But you know what? I mean, look, I didn't think Brock Purdy was going to be anything in the NFL, so what do I know?
Yeah, but he got drafted, what, 252 or whatever?
Right, yeah, nine. There's a difference when you get drafted there versus getting drafted somewhere in the mid to upper mid first round, which is where a Bronco trade with maybe a, you know, one of Chicago's later picks would get them.
Yeah.
It just, I don't know. I am skeptical of it.
Me too.
But, you know, I haven't watched him work out. So, and it seems like he's climbing a lot of people's charts.
Yeah, it really does. And it's kind of funny. Like, I must be sort of like slowly morphing into just having like full NFL brain. because when I watch him, I'm like, wow, there's a lot to like. And then everyone I hear, like all of my friends that cover college football, obviously a lot of whom cover Nebraska or Wisconsin or the Big Ten in general, they're all like, I don't understand this whatsoever. And so it's going to be interesting. There's always like, I always feel like we sort of overshoot a little bit on somebody coming out of the combine this time of year. Like last year, this time of year, it felt like Will Levis was going to, it was like, okay, not only is it, you know, Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud and Anthony Richardson, but Levis is going to be right there too. And it was the same sort of talk, 4 quarterbacks high and all that. And obviously, like, 3 of them went in the first 4 picks, and then one guy, Levis, ended up in the second round. And so the question is, like, are there really going to be 4 that go that early this year? Or does McCarthy maybe end up more in the, like, Bo Nix, Michael Penix Jr., realm, like wherever that is, maybe someone comes up late first round, maybe they're second rounders. But the theme with McCarthy for weeks now has been, yeah, he's going in the top 10. So yeah. It's going to be – the Broncos have a big call to make there too, because you've obviously got the quarterback needy teams at the top. Somebody's going to go up. You know, somebody will go up to get a quarterback. And then they're sitting right in this mix of Minnesota at 11, Denver at 12, Vegas at 13, all of whom probably need a quarterback. And they're all could be jockeying for the trade up or who ends up there or whatever. So, again, it's sort of like everything has been for a while with the Broncos. It's like it's very interesting and, you know, they're not in a bad spot, but it also seems like they're maybe – between a rock and a hard place.
Where's the fan base at now, Parker, with Sean Payton going into year two?
Oh, I think a lot more confident than they were a year ago.
Interesting.
When Nathaniel Hackett got fired. But also, like, it just, they, you know, Sean's very much like, we're going to compete every year. He's the kind of guy that thinks he can roll out there with the three of us and a few other, you know, guys and figure out a way to keep it close or be in contention. And so, like, I mean, that's probably a good quality to have in your coach, but I also just, like, they won't say it, but they just, this isn't going to be easy. Like, it's not going to be easy to thread this needle without Russell Wilson and with all that money on the books and try to have a better roster than they had last year when they were the healthiest team in the NFL and they scratched out 8 wins. Like, it just, I don't know. It seems like a hard road. And, like, it's going to take a couple of years before they have the roster where they want it. But, you know, it's the NFL. Every team's within, like, 5% of each other. And crazy stuff happens all the time.
Parker Gabriel, Denver Post. No shortage of excitement in Denver as they try to rebuild and somehow keep up with the Chiefs. And, oh, by the way, that Harbaugh fellow just joined the division, too.
Yeah, that's right. Imagine if Sean Payton drafts J.J. McCarthy and then goes and beats Jim Harbaugh's Chargers with J.J. McCarthy as his quarterback.
I mean, Harbaugh was the one who said a few weeks ago that he is the best quarterback in the draft. Now, I think he was just being loyal to a former player, but yeah, that would be very ironic.
Yeah, or it would be amazing if he was like entertained the idea of trading Justin Herbert to like take McCarthy at 5 and roll. That's not, you just don't do that. But like, if you want to talk about like the NFL draft that Thursday night, just going completely nuclear, that would be it. Of like, oh, the Chargers are acquiring, you know, 13 first round picks for Justin Herbert from somebody, and he's going to take JJ McCarthy and just reset the whole thing. That would be amazing.
Parker, have a great week. We appreciate it. Thanks for the chat.
All right, we'll see you guys next time you see Sipple. Tell him to shut up.
We will.
We always
Thank
do.
You.
We
Thank you, Parker.
Wrong radio show.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
Thanks, Parker.
Parker Gabriel of the Denver Post.
That would be, I mean, I feel like whoever gets McCarthy, the fan base, I don't think the fan base is going to be that excited if they are college football fans in that fan base.
Right.
You know, professional fans who don't really have a history with him will certainly, everybody wants to talk themselves into
it. It depends where he goes to. I mean, if like the Bears would pull a shocker, for example, and draft him instead of Caleb Williams,
that would be quite the story.
I think there would be an issue.
Yeah.
Heck, even if he's taken, you know, if Washington grabs him at 2, or the Falcons, you know, get him wherever I can't remember where the Falcons are picking at the moment. But yeah, it really does. It depends on where he's taken.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to just cast him off knowing that we have seen.
Correct. That's the thing.
We have seen what has happened when you prematurely cast off a quarterback. But there is a difference between being picked Mr. Irrelevant and succeeding and being picked in the first round, because the level of expectation.
Yeah.
You are chosen to be the franchise quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
When you are picked in the first round, you are chosen to be the guy. And I don't know. I think I think it'll be a very mixed bag of results.
He'll cost more.
It'll cost a lot more.
You just mentioned it. The expectation will be higher. So there's a lot that goes into wherever he lands. Not to mention, of course, one of the big reasons, the driving points of success for Purdy's you know, level of play has been the players around him, the infrastructure around him. That's played a big part in what he has been able to do. And he's obviously executed at a very high level too, but it also helps that, like, the Broncos don't have A, the infrastructure of the 49ers, and certainly B, the skill talent that the 49ers have.
No. No, they most certainly do not.
No.
Thanks to Parker Gabriel for joining us and adding it to the chat. By the way,
Alex and Linga says, as a Bronco fan, I want no part of McCarthy.
Carl Mecklenburg, who just got, I was Randy Gratishar. Sorry, wrong era, wrong linebacker.
All right.
But Mecklenburg, former Bronco legend, tweeted this week, Russell Wilson isn't a leader. The foolishness that went on in his first year at Denver with a private coach, his own office at the facility, family at training camp when other players didn't have those privileges, proved his self-centeredness.
Yeah, he is someone that when he first came into the league, lots of praise, lots of plaudits for essentially the exact opposite of what you just read, where it was he showed up, he put in the work, to the point where the Seahawks at the time, they had signed Matt Flynn on a huge deal, and they made Russell Wilson, the third-round draft pick, a starter. They won a Super Bowl in year two. They went to a Super Bowl in year three. And then after that, everything went downhill. And remember, there was that famous ESPN story where Richard Sherman and others thought that they threw the ball down there to help Russell get the MVP instead of it going to beast mode. You know, the fights at practice that weren't just the typical training camp fights where it was a lot more personal. It seems like all of that is very real the further that we get away from that.
And that's why where Russell Wilson ends up, I mean, yes, you should be able to get him really, really cheap because the Broncos will be paying most of his salary. But you want to bring this type of baggage, potential baggage with you. Because this is now two different franchises that have had
that people are happy
mixed
to see
results.
Him go.
Yes, that they're not that disappointed. There's not, I don't know many, the only thing Bronco fans are disappointed with is how much it's costing them and how they misread the situation from the jump, but not that he's leaving.
Yeah.
They're fine with dumping him and finding and starting over again with another quarterback.
100%.
Coming up, the madness, and there's a lot of it happening right now. And we're going to have some fun with conference tournaments, thanks to my buddy Bart.
Oh.
This will be good news for Nebraska.
I can't wait to find out what
and
he has
good
to
news
say
for
this
Creighton.
Time.
Bart having good news for Nebraska?
And still to come, how Alabama moved on from Nick Saban. There was some revealing stuff in here, including what Saban said upon his departure that heretofore hadn't been heard yet before on 1620 The Zone.